zone. Air Force leaders say it will take several years before changes to the Air Force Academy are complete. Academy Commandant Johnny Wida told an oversight panel that changes so far have been positive, but, quote, we have a long, long way to go. One problem mentioned by Air Force officials involved the school's honor code, which requires students to report violations they see or learn about. In one recent survey, 20% of the upper class said they would tolerate an honor code violation by a classmate. Air Force leaders plan to survey the school staff in March about the sexual harassment and gender climate. The questions will closely match those asked of students last fall. The Army has released the name of a Fort Carson soldier killed Sunday in Iraq. Armando Soriano died in a non-combat situation when his vehicle rolled off the road in Hadatha. Soriano was with the 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment. He's the 40th casualty from Fort Carson during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Boulder City Council members have decided to reject a request from the union representative of the city's firefighters who are demanding the resignation of Fire Chief Larry Donner. The council also unanimously passed a resolution calling for the state to better fund the University of Colorado at Boulder. When accused rapist Kobe Bryant made his initial court appearance, dozens of fans gathered outside the Eagle County, Colorado courthouse. As the hearings have dragged on, though, and the temperature has plummeted, those supporters disappeared. Until yesterday. Following yesterday's hearing, 12-year-old Joseph Trujillo of Eagle and two buddies waited in a snowstorm in hopes of catching a glimpse of the Lakers star.
Because I'm a Lakers fan, Kobe, he's the best player in the NBA.
Favorite player.
All of our favorite player.
The hearing for Kobe Bryant has been continued to March 1st. Massachusetts has once again proven to be a good place for advocates of same-sex marriage. The state Supreme Judicial Court has ruled today that civil unions are not an adequate alternative to same-sex marriages. The ruling means the state's first legal same-sex marriages can now take place in May. Legal expert Paul Martinek of Lawyers Weekly USA says this ruling clears up any questions about whether the court would accept civil unions to placate those opposed to same-sex marriage. John Kerry continues to remain well ahead of his competitors where it really counts in the number of delegates each has secured on the road to the Democratic presidential nomination. According to MSNBC, the Massachusetts senator has 262 so far with the ultimate goal of reaching a bit more than 2,100 votes to secure the nomination. Howard Dean is a distant second with a total of 121. Dean only garnered 7 delegates yesterday. John Edwards is in third with a total of 97. Wesley Clark has a total of 80, good for fourth place. Sarasota, Florida investigators report more than 250 leads have come in, but there's still no sign of 11-year-old Carly Brucia, who went missing Sunday on her way home from a friend's house. Lynn, a neighborhood store owner, says there is no way Carly could have been seen from his store when she took the shortcut.
Cross Evie's parking lot, which is a big parking lot,
Pull
into my parking lot, and go through the alley, which once you're in that alley, there's not a lot of visibility from the roads.
Television stations coast to coast are still airing the surveillance video of a man grabbing Carly's arm and leading her away. Officials are working with NASA on a much clearer, digitally enhanced version of the video. A $50,000 reward is being offered for information leading to an arrest in that case. Presidential spokesman Scott McClellan confirms that President Bush has agreed to support a 60-day extension for the commission investigating the 9/11 terrorist attacks. The panel has a May deadline to complete their work, but members say they'll need another couple of months. McClellan said Congress should also back the extension. There had been concerns within the administration that extending the deadline to midsummer could put the commission's final report in the middle of the presidential election season. Testimony by the prosecution's star witness continues today in the case against Martha Stewart. Today, Douglas Faneuil testified that he received a call from Stewart instructing him to sell her shares after she heard the company's founder was selling. Faneuil was an assistant to Stewart's stockbroker at the time. She sold her shares of ImClone stock before a negative report about the company was released. On Wall Street, stocks lower this hour. The Dow down about 10 points. The Nasdaq down nearly 35. The S&P 500 down about 4. In sports, no game for Colorado's pro teams today. Last night, Colorado Avalanche beat the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1. The Denver Nuggets off until Friday when they play the Golden State Warriors in California. College basketball action tonight. CU Buffs in Texas to play the Longhorns. 3-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Only get wiper blades starting at just $1.99 each. That's up to 40% off. Limit one pair per customer while supplies last. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Evelyn. Linda
Berman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Xantrex 3, and we're trying to get those accidents out of the way. The last one, 17th in Quebec. Still going to be slow southbound 225 at Iliff due to an earlier injury wreck. Pena as at I-70 as well. Watch for that. What's the number one diet pill in America? Xantrex 3. Rapid weight loss, incredible energy, and one amazing super pill. Xantrex 3 at stores nationwide or log on to Xantrex3.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Ray Stajic with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A winter weather advisory through tonight as more accumulating snow as we head on through the day today. Could see an additional 2 to 4 inches of snowfall with 28 for the afternoon high. More snow near the Palmer Divide. Light snow and snow showers tonight, 15. Flurries tomorrow, 29. Total snow accumulations, 48 inches. For the Weather Channel, I'm Ray Stajic on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's snowy, 26 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. In the third hour of the show, in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Paul Waldman. He's written a book called Fraud, The Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. You know what? Maybe a lot of the mainstream media didn't tell you, but I told you, and I will be surprised if he unravels stuff that we haven't already discussed, but I think it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Tomorrow, David Denby, the film critic for The New Yorker magazine, will be joining us live in studio, written a book called American Sucker. It's how he got suckered in the tech boom. He lost not only what he intended to invest, he lost everything, and he's written a book about it. We're going to be giving away tickets to the Colorado Home and Garden Show on Friday next week. We're going to be talking to Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times journalist Tim Egan, and we're going to be live at the Denver Press Club. It'll be the Valentine's Day edition. It'll be next Friday, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Is the number as we get underway. A couple of things before we get started, some science stories. I'm always fascinated by science, a subject I don't really, I'm fascinated by, but I can't say that I have much background in it. But a couple of things. First of all, they are bioengineering watercress to turn another color if there is nitrogen dioxide around, and so it's a genetically engineered plant. Nitrogen dioxide apparently would be leaking from buried landmines. So if your watercress turns color, that means that your watercress has been turned into a military sentry. I think this is great. Watercress is being bioengineered to detect landmines. A tiny biotech firm in Denmark if he has his way, a lowly member of the watercress family might someday be a tool in the fight against limb-destroying scourge of landmines. So here's what happens when the bioengineered watercress, which is normally bright green, turns red. It tells you that there is nitrogen dioxide in the area, and that is one of the indicators of buried landmines, because it leaks from buried landmines. So whoever thought that the watercress, which everybody laughs at because it's thought to be the ultimate of lift your pinky refinement to be eating watercress sandwiches on bread where the crusts have been trimmed, and that's when you have tea or high tea or these ladies' luncheons. Whoever thought that watercress would rise to the occasion and become a military sentry, but or protect us from terrorism, but there it is. And in the olden days, before dinosaurs roamed the land, you know who was huge? I mean, really huge, like dinosaurs are really huge? Very huge were insects. You had giant dragonflies and other large arthropods that were just, they were, you had these huge dragonflies. Some of these giants had wings and six legs, and they were just enormous. And today there's a helicopter damselfly, which is shown, which is one of the largest dragonflies today. But prehistoric giant dragonfly, and I would say that this dragonfly today is maybe, I don't know, about 3 inches. But prehistoric giant dragonflies had wingspans that reached 2.5 feet. I don't know why I find that interesting. But maybe we can turn those into anti-terrorist dragonflies and watercress patrolling the universe and making it safe for the rest of us. I love what CNN is calling the Janet Jackson breast flap. They're calling it brahaha. Anyway, here's what I want to know. Michael Powell launched an investigation immediately into the Janet Jackson brahaha. But I don't see that the administration has launched an immediate investigation. They dragged your feet on the 9/11 investigation, and they've reluctantly agreed to an investigation of WMDs, but none of them acted as quickly on issues of terrorism as the FCC did on the issue of Janet Jackson's, you know, what do you want to call it? Brahaha, I guess. Want to make something of that? 303-382-1150. What does that mean? And for the Grammys, guess what CBS is going to do? They're going to do something that we do in talk radio. This is why we don't want you to keep your radio on when you call the show. We are in what is called delay. And CBS is going to use that delay system in the Grammys following Janet Jackson's surprise breast bearing on the Super Bowl halftime show. CBS said it would institute a video delay system to avoid any recurrence at Sunday's Grammy Awards. CBS technicians were scrambling to invent the software, something more than the 5-second audio delay the network has used to bleep out swear words, like when Eminem performed on the Grammys 2 years ago. Meanwhile, CBS may ask that Jackson and Justin be banned from the Grammys if the network concludes the musicians fully intended to give Jackson the extra exposure on Sunday. So, you know what, I'll bet you that they'll be on the Grammys because they figure they can get some hype value out of it. But I think it's really interesting that we can have an immediate investigation of Janet Jackson's breast, whereas everybody dragged their feet, their breasts and other their accoutrements, when it came to investigating 9/11 and investigating the lack of WMDs. 303-382-1150. Grammys, they're going to try and do a tape delay on the Grammys, so not only on the audio portion, but also on the video portion. And the tape delay is such, and we have this in talk radio, we are not allowed to say certain words. The FCC will fine us if we say certain words. So if one of you happens to say one of those words, we have a delay system. So it gets bleeped out, and nobody is any the wiser. One of television's last taboos in England was broken just the other night, and it is the C word. I guess they've used every other word in England, but the C word slipped out. I don't know if it caused very much of an outrage there, but there it is. And it's a word that, if you've been watching Sex and the City, has been freely used on Sex and the City. So they say a lot of things on Sex and the City, and suddenly we become very chaste when it's one of the networks involved. Please explain that to me. I would like to know what that's all about. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. CU, Diane Carman, in her column today. She says that CU should not investigate its own mess. Let me make this as plain as possible, she says. The University of Colorado should not be allowed to conduct its own investigation of the football team's recruiting scandal. The alleged gang rapes, the accusations of the coaches attempted to obstruct the police investigation, and the charges that the football program arranges for high school children to have drunken sex gang sex as part of the college hospitality program are too volatile for an internal investigation to handle with any shred of credibility. Let me tell you something. The university didn't do anything until Governor Owens wrote him a scathing letter. I want to know why all this is allowed to continue. If CU doesn't do the same thing that all these other schools are doing, then it will suffer competitively. I don't know why there are not simultaneous investigations launched at all these other schools, because there have been allegations of rape at a lot of these other universities. They're all clamoring for the same pool of athletic talent, and they're all doing the same things to recruit these kids. And I think it's not what a university is supposed to be about. And the coaches are in it up to their eyeballs, and And with Diane Carman, I don't think that the university can be relied upon on its own to conduct an investigation. It's been going on for some time now. How come this is the first we've heard an investigation? And how is it that the headline in yesterday's Post said that the no rapes took place, according to the CU president, Betsy Hoffman? I thought they were conducting an investigation to find out about it. Meanwhile, a CU regent proposed having Owens and the legislature appoint 2/3 of the investigative team to examine whether the school's athletic department uses sex to lure football players. Like, is there even a question about this? Don't they all use sex to lure football players? To what extent? But here's where money corrupts the athletic program. And those of you who are CU alums, I want to hear from you. What do you think about this? It brings in so much revenue. It brings in so much glory for the university that it's usually these everybody averts their eyes. Nobody wants to know too much what's going on so that they can all, you know, they can all indulge in deniability, plausible deniability, so that they don't really know. They don't want to know what's going on. Only a few people know. There's usually a liaison to the police so that they get a heads up and they can cover it up. And the revenues are allowed to come through big and tall. And the university gets glory on the playing field. And machinery for recruiting more athletes remains in place, well lubricated by all kinds of stuff that the rest of us really would not like to see how it works. It's kind of like how sausage is made. Sausage and laws. You don't want to see how it happens. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Paul in Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. In the last day or two, you've asked your listeners to keep tabs on what, the Rush Limbaughs and Bill O'Reilly has to say. There was a particularly nasty, I call it a political trick, but this is the season for that. I just want to blow the whistle on it. A guy from Littleton calls Bill O'Reilly today and says, well, I was a Kerry supporter, but when he can't went this way or that way, I decided I'm against him. And O'Reilly bought that. In Littleton, which is Arapahoe County, they haven't elected a Democrat since 1963. I kind of don't believe that he ever was for any.
Well, maybe Democrat. they have one Democrat in there someplace hiding under the bed.
They have their county meetings in a phone booth.
Right. So you're saying that he was probably a Republican dirty tricks operative calling up to kind of screw with O'Reilly.
The odds
diddle him around.
The odds are statistically enormous stacked that way. I wanted to call O'Reilly and blow the whistle on the guy, but getting in that one's too hard.
Have you tried?
No.
You ought to try. It's probably not that hard.
Really?
I think sometimes maybe he didn't have all that many calls. Try it and see.
Also, on this Janet Jackson thing, and I'm ashamed to say that we all saw that, and my 10-year-old said, oh, that's a booby trap.
That's a good line. I wish I had thought about that. That's
okay.
A great line.
I'll see you.
All right. Thanks
Bye.
A lot, Paul. We're asking our listeners to monitor what's going on in conservative talk and then come back. Don't stay there very long. And if anybody asks you what you're actually listening to, don't admit it. What you want to say, the right answer to the question, when anybody asks you, what are you listening to? The right answer is, what is our station call letters? Do you know? Do you know what our dial position is? You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC. And if you occasionally stray to the competition for purposes of reporting and bringing back information and for purposes of reconnaissance for Enid Live, if anybody asks you what you're listening to, don't even admit it, because you don't want to embarrass yourself that way. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. We're talking about CU's probe. The regent, who happens to be a Democrat, he's Jim Martin, CU regent, Boulder. He believes that the university should not be in charge of appointing all the people involved in this investigation, that Owens ought to appoint 1/3. Legislature ought to appoint 1/3, and then the university appoints 1/3. So what do you think about that plan? So that there's some kind of honesty here. Although, really, I really don't. I think that the legislature could stack it politically, and I think Owens could, too. So I don't really know how you would go about getting an honest assessment. I think the last thing the university wants is an honest assessment. I think what they want is something that looks like it's an honest assessment. But God help us, I don't think they really want it to be an honest assessment, because guess what will happen? It'll be very ugly. And here's what Diane Carman says. She's quoting somebody who was actually a whistleblower. She said, Linda Bensel Myers, now professor of English at University of Denver, knows firsthand what happens when someone dares to criticize the almighty athletics department at Division I universities. This English professor, Linda, we'll call her Linda, was a tenured English professor and a supervisor of tutoring programs at the University of Tennessee in 1999 when she went public with information that tutors at the school's athletic assistance center were running a plagiarism mill to, oh, what a surprise, to provide athletes with bogus classwork. Like, do they even show up? As word of the scandal spread, instead of addressing the charges and doing everything necessary to restore the integrity of the university's academic program, in case it had one at the University of Tennessee, the administrators formed a powerful defensive line to protect the athletics department. They sealed the student academic files, reassigned Linda, the professor who blew the whistle, reassigned her administrative responsibilities to others, tampered with her computer files, ridiculed her, and banished her to a basement office. Colleagues of mine would come in and tell me I would speak up in support of you, but I have to get my kids through college, she said. I became a case study in what happens to faculty members who speak up about abuses in the athletics department. So it doesn't surprise her that everybody at CU claims to be unaware of improprieties in athletic recruiting. That ignorance is calculated, Diane Carman writes. There is a particular way that college athletics have set up a system so as few people as possible are formally aware of what's going on, she said. Then they know when any investigation is launched, it will quickly collapse for lack of evidence. Nobody knows nothing, Carman writes. Even if there are records that might reveal patterns of abuse, they are sealed under the university's broad interpretation of the Family Educational Right to Privacy Act. It keeps the public eyes off universities, which is what makes the disclosures in the federal civil suit in the CU rape case so extraordinary. The university could not silence the federal court. Linda, the whistleblower, said one thing she finds striking about the CU scandal is the statement attributed to football coach Gary Barnett that there's nothing unusual about CU's recruiting programs. You know what? I agree with that. I believe that. I believe that that's true. I believe all these universities are using the same tactics to recruit young high school graduates, young players, the same kind of drug, sex, rock and roll, booze, you name it. I think they are all using the same thing. And some sense, some also inflated sense of chartering these kids, you know, limousines and chartered planes and all kinds of things that make these kids feel like they're poshes. Everybody does it. Apparently, no school can unilaterally make changes. Barnett says any changes that they make in the recruiting practices affect their ability to compete. So, some athletic departments look the other way when players identify young women they believe will provide sexual favors and then make sure that the recruits, quote, hook up with them, preferably with no witnesses and always off campus. It's why a growing number of university faculty members have formed the Drake Group, an organization whose mission is to, quote, defend academic integrity in the face of the burgeoning college sports industry. Can I laugh in your face here about academic integrity? I believe it's an oxymoron. I have many friends who are university professors, and those people are, some of them are so bare-knuckled, some of them are such sharks, that the whole idea of academic integrity for those in the know is sometimes highly laughable. And I am so sorry to have to reveal this to you, and I'm so sorry to have to reveal it to myself, because I was one of those people who believed that the university was an ivory tower where the same kind of mauling and brawling that goes on in regular life didn't exist there. It's even worse, if you can believe that. So here's an academic institution, CU, the probe. What are your thoughts about this? I know even if you're big Buffs fans, what do you think about the recruiting tactics? What do you think should happen? How can a fair investigation proceed? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
They sent out a memo the other day requesting that all memos now follow the new memo format introduced in an earlier memo and then summarized in a later memo. A follow-up memo said to disregard any previously unauthorized memo procedure.
Sounds like their thing is a 12-ream case of Xerox paper. Just $17.99 during this week's Office Max Business Savings event. And all PaperMate stock is buy two, get one free. Buy TurboTax, get a free calculator. At Office Max, unbeatable savings is our thing. What's your thing?
Then they found out the memo had a typo.
Offer ends February 7th. See store for details.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Oh, Raymond.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
Mmm, they taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Hi, I'm Trish McDermott, VP of Romance from Match.com. At Match.com, we do everything we can to help you succeed in dating. That's why we have so many ways for you to connect, like email, instant messaging, and voice messages, to name a few. Match.com also offers online dating tips and advice, so you always have someone in your corner. That's how we do things at Match.com. We never want you to feel alone. In fact, alone is kind of our natural enemy. Match.com, with over 10 million possibilities.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:26 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Well, the See You Fight song. They should be fighting for their own integrity. I don't know when that's going to happen. Perhaps we have to send that militant watercress over there to defend them against all these improprieties that are being alleged. See You, what do you think about how they are going to investigate themselves? And the announcement to investigate themselves only came after a scathing letter from Governor Owens to Dr. Hoffman, the president of CU. She made the announcement on Saturday. That in itself is extraordinary, that there's a Saturday announcement. Because, you know, in part, sometimes announcements happen on the weekends in order to avoid a lot of the same kind of scrutiny, the same level of scrutiny that you would have during the week. But also, I think it was one of those last-minute kinds of things where that's when it shook down, and that's when they announced that they were going to conduct an investigation. CU is going to probe itself. How likely do you think we're going to have an honest investigation? Would you like to comment? 303-382-1150. Recruiting scandals. The same allegations, fill in the blanks, happen at all these universities. And I think what you have to do is you have to launch simultaneous investigations at all these Division I schools, because I think they're all engaging in the same practices. And it's so... Hey, everybody's screaming about what happened with the brahaha, the booby trap of Janet Jackson Sunday. But may I tell you, it's exactly the currency that this is exactly what's used to recruit players at universities. The same kind of sleaziness that we saw at the halftime show. And a few more things in addition. 303-382-1150. And then we purport to be shocked. Shocked! Shocked! That we're seeing on television exactly what is going on in other parts of American life. There was a story written, and I'm reminded of it, a lot of years ago, actually, called The White Trashing of America. It's gotten even worse. It's even more than white trash. You know, we had the Anna Nicole Smiths, people who would go to good schools, who graduated from Ivy League colleges, and pretended to be, in their speech and in their dress and in their mannerisms, pretended to be kind of trashy. Well, we have really, it's been a race to the bottom. We've arrived, I think. 303-382-1150, the primaries. Uh-oh, here it is. Kerry, big wins. He won 5, and of the 7, he widens his leads. What's going to happen to Dean's people? Are they going to do a Nader and try to install Dean as maybe possibly a third-party candidate, or somehow throw a wrench into Kerry's momentum? There is some speculation along those lines. I don't know if that will happen. But John Kerry won 5 of the 7 contests last night, at demonstrating broad national appeal and almost no wrinkles in his forehead. He won in Arizona. He won in Delaware. He won in Missouri. He won in New Mexico. He won in North Dakota. Edwards took it in his own state of South Carolina, the state that he was born in. I believe he is living in North Carolina, but he was born in, apparently in South Carolina. Kerry came in second, but Edwards had a 15-point lead over Kerry in South Carolina. And in a very close race, it looks like a tie. Looks like Clark took Oklahoma, but the statistics, the numbers I'm looking at, they're both at 30%. So maybe just in a tiny bit of a lead. Clark took Oklahoma. John Kerry won 5 of the 7 contests. Dean is not showing up. What do you want to, those of you who have been Dean supporters, what do you want to say about that? 303-382-1150. Trey calling from Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. Enid, I agree with you. Let's have a breath of fresh air and have an independent investigation.
Don't hold your breath for that fresh air to come in because you'll be going to be turning purple.
But I'm kind of surprised at you actually in this matter in that, do you believe that the Owens administration and the likes of Senator Andrews wouldn't somehow change this into part of their political campaign against higher liberality and higher education?
Probably they would, and that's why I am wary of Owens, the Regent Martin's suggestion that Owens appoints 3 people to the investigation, people investigating it, and that the legislature appoints 3 people. They're all going to be politicized people, so that's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Who would be 3? Who would be the most honest people?
You know, it's hard to say. I would think that the process by which they're appointed would be as important as who is appointed. But the state of nature of things with the Republican Party these days is that my distrust of them is so great that I can't imagine them being anything but a Trojan horse in almost any affair, political affair they're involved with. And I would encourage any Republican to start examining the leadership of the party so they can put a breath of integrity back in the party and get rid of these political gimmicks that they so readily use to,
How do you describe yourself, Trey? Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
You know, I've been independent except when I've registered for Democrats so I can participate in primaries. And I would describe myself as very pragmatic. I'm probably conservative on a number of issues, but I'm probably liberal by most people's standards and other issues, you know. So I'm all over the place, to be honest with you.
Well, I think a lot of us are. But you're saying, do you feel that the Democrats lack more integrity than the Republicans? Or do the Republicans lack more integrity than the Democrats?
I think the Republican leadership lacks integrity. Almost every time that you hear a local leader from the Republican Party in Colorado on the airwaves, they're using gimmickry to achieve political gain, whether that be flag amendments, whether that be the liberality of higher education. These are all.
Can I make an analogy? We sunk in the halftime game at the Super Bowl to the sleaziest, to the lowest common denominator, and that is exactly what these politicians you were talking about have done. They are not interested in actually governing, which is complicated and messy. And if you take a position, you alienate immediately at least half the electorate. These are people who would rather posture on issues that are completely distractions, as the war in Iraq has been a distraction. So they're talking about the academic Bill of Rights. They're talking about not enough conservatives on campus. They're talking about partial birth abortion. They're talking about the marriage amendment. All of this stuff is completely irrelevant. It is absolutely the Janet Jackson of politics.
And I think that people are starting to wake up to it.
I don't know if they're starting to wake up to it. I don't know if they've awakened at all.
Well, people, the question I've heard on a lot of talk radios lately is, can Bush be defeated? And the answer to me is simple. He's built a foundation on a house of cards. And any one of these things could start unraveling, whether it be the obviousness of his military or lack of military history, whether it be the false promises he's so clearly lied during the campaigns that got him elected, whether it be the obvious distortions, whether through intent or not, through intent on Iraq. Those things are just going to unravel, and they're going to unravel in a big way, I believe. And I just hope that
I hope it's before the election and not after the election.
Yeah.
And what he's saying now about his bloated budget is that if you give him 4 more years, he's going to fix it all up. He's the one who got us into this mess. Get him out. There is no room for discussion on this one. He has got to go. He's clueless. He's disengaged. And he is really among the, if he's got an IQ hovering at room 10. Apparently, Cheney runs a lot more than we have known. And what they do is they narrow the choices down to, do you want the glass half full or half empty? And they bring him this narrow range of choice after they've vetted everything. And then he thinks he's in charge, just how clueless he is. I think we should have that glass half empty. So that's what he's doing. This is a very disengaged president and not one with vision.
I believe unless there's a likely October surprise, it's all going to catch up to him along about July or August.
Well, do not underestimate this group of Republican senators. Senator Grassley expects that they're going to bring him Osama bin Laden before that. And for all you know, he's on ice. He's sucking formaldehyde right now. They're gonna pump him up. They're gonna get the embalmers in there, and they're gonna stick him in a hole and say that they caught him. You never know, Trey.
Yeah, either that or they'll bring in the former Democratic senator from Georgia, whose name eludes me at the moment, and call him Osama.
Zell Miller?
No. The fellow that got defeated by being morphed into Osama bin Laden.
I don't remember. That wasn't Max Cleland, was it?
Max Cleland, thank you.
Oh, that would be so bad. He left most of his limbs in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That was a sad moment. All right, Trey, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the primaries. Lieberman dropped out. Oh, well, not a surprise. I was so disappointed when I saw him in the last debate. I just thought he sounded mealy-mouthed and an apologist for the Bush administration, which was very stupid of him. It was very stupid for him to put himself in that position to, position himself. That's the word I couldn't summon. It was stupid of him to position himself as a Bush apologist, not when Dean has fired up finally Democrats so that they're angry at what has been going on in the administration. And so for Lieberman to come out and sound like a kind of neo-quasi-conservative spokesperson for Bush, I thought was political suicide. And in fact, that has been the case. He has dropped out of the race. It's over for him. He's not going to be able to raise money. And he started out strong. You know, as Al Gore's former running mate, he started out with all the cards. So we've gone through Lieberman, and then Dean caught fire, and now Kerry's going to catch fire. And who will catch fire in time for the election? Will it be Edwards or will it be Kerry? 303-382-1150. I don't see Clark doing it. I don't see Clark becoming magic. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Snowy, 26 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey. Following a short foot chase yesterday, Denver police arrested a third suspect in the murder of a man who was found shot to death at 20th Avenue in Youngfield on January 17th. Police had already arrested two other suspects last week. So far, no motive has been determined in the killing. A 37-year-old Highlands Ranch man has been arrested on suspicion of being a peeping Tom. The man is accused of peeking over an 8-foot partial wall at a tanning salon on South University Boulevard to look at women. A part-time corrections officer is accused of using an inmate as target practice for a taser gun and has been suspended from his job. Yesterday, Chaffee County Detentions Officer Scott Glenn was placed on administrative leave and he could lose his job. In sports, Colorado's pro teams have tonight off. The Colorado Avalanche back in action at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the Detroit Red Wings, while the Denver Nuggets are off until Friday when they play the Golden State Warriors in California. Avs fans, the only place to watch the Red Wings and Avalanche Thursday night is on ESPN. It's the top rivalry in the NHL. It's the Avs and Wings, and it's only on ESPN's Thursday Night Hockey at 6. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leechdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
KNRC News time is 12:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Pep Boys, and really not that many accidents around the metro area. We're still having some slow and dangerous traffic. Eastbound First right at Steele. Watch for an accident as well as 6th and Calumet. We are still on traffic alert, our accident alert for Littleton, Golden, and Aurora. So if you're in an accident there, treat the just exchange and go unless injuries or alcohol are involved. Hurry into Pep Boys, where an express purloined oil change is just $11.88. That's right, $11.88, and it's done in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Ray Stajic with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A winter weather advisory through tonight with more accumulating snow. Slick spots today with snow increasing once again, 28 2 to 4 inches. With more at the Palmer Divide. Overnight tonight, more snow and snow showers, 15, 4 to 8 inches total. Flurries breezy, 29 tomorrow. For the Weather Channel, I'm Ray Stajic on AM 1150, KNRC.
Snowy, 26 degrees now. KNRC news time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's Body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's Body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
KNRC Market Watch.
Turning into a steeper slide for stocks. Indexes trading near their lows for the day. The Dow is down 42 points. The S&P 500 losing 10. The NASDAQ is down 46 points, more than a 2% loss. Losing stocks on the big board now beating winners by more than 2.5 to 1. Stock in Boeing is up 32 cents, even after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told a Senate committee that talks between Boeing and the Air Force on leasing refueling tanker planes appear to have involved wrongdoing. Reuters reports Rumsfeld promises to take appropriate action if Boeing's actions are proven inappropriate. Northrop Grumman says the high cost of pension payments wiped out strong income from defense contracts last quarter, and the result is flat earnings. Flat was enough to beat Wall Street expectations, though. Traders also pleased with Northrop's plan to cut costs and improve margins, which it predicts will lead to better earnings. Stock in the maker of the stealth bomber and the Global Hawk spy plane, up $1.50. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock later in the broadcast. We'll be joined by the author of Fraud, The Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. Well, I told you. I probably told you everything that's in this book. We're going to find out if he's got anything new to say or not. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about CU trying to investigate itself. The same kind of thing where President Bush is going to try and investigate himself, too, on the matter of WMDs, except that it's being alleged that he's sabotaging the WMD commission before it even starts. Let me share the information I have with you. Over the last 2 years, President Bush and the White House have claimed that they are going to establish an independent commission to promptly investigate the overhyping of intelligence before the Iraq War. But as details come out about the White House's proposal, it appears the commission will be neither independent nor prompt, not nearly as prompt as the Janet Jackson booby trap brahaha investigation. Specifically, the president will appoint the entire commission himself, breaking the previous tradition of allowing lawmakers from both parties to appoint commission members. Although lawmakers have raised objections to the commission's lack of independence, the White House is moving forward with its plan. So I don't know why the Democrats can't object to this. There must be some way that they can do this. So instead of both parties appointing the people from both sides of the aisle and at least the appearance of an independent inquiry. The White House is going to appoint everybody to the inquiry, to the commission that will be investigating the White House. Well, do you see a conflict of interest there, or am I just smoking something? Additionally, despite the fact that the commission's work will be critical to national security, the president will only authorize a commission that produces a report after the election so as to minimize any political fallout for himself. Well, if he doesn't want the report until after the election, what is it is he afraid that they are really going to find out? Does he know something that we don't know? Does he think that maybe something's going to come out that isn't good for him? Why would he want to authorize it after the election if he were confident that they really weren't going to get any dirt on him? So right away, there's a clue right there. So the report can only be produced after the election so as to minimize any political fallout. This contrasts sharply to British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who is putting national security ahead of politics. Well, there's a novel idea. As the Los Angeles Times reports, quote, in contrast to a bipartisan investigating committee announced by Bush, the British panel is to announce its conclusion by July. That would put any damaging disclosures for Blair's government well in advance of parliamentary elections expected in 2005. It also contrasts with similar investigations in the United States. In 1983, after the terrorist attacks on U.S. troops in Beirut, a commission was appointed and finished its work within 3 months. As one major newspaper editorial board summed up, the president's goal is to delay any objective findings about pre-war intelligence until after the election, leaving him free to decide what the administration knew and didn't know, when didn't it know it, and who is to blame. And the president's continued misleading on WMDs could come at a price. As Republican Senator Chuck Hagel said, a failure to convince the public that Bush did not exaggerate the case for war, quote, would put the president in a very bad position. He said people would start asking, do we trust his word? Do we trust him to lead this country? Well, you know what my answer to that is. I want your response to this. This is an investigation launched by the White House on itself. And they're going to pick everybody who's going to be part of the commission. And part of the deal is you can't be on the commission unless you promise that a report will not be issued until after the election. What is the White House frightened of? What didn't it know? And when didn't it know it? All right, the Borowitz report. Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich, naked breast, fails to sway voters. Stripping on C-SPAN 2 impressed few, exit polls suggest. Representative Dennis Kucinich's decision to expose his right breast on national television Sunday night did very little to woo voters participating in the Democratic primaries and caucuses on Tuesday, exit polls suggest. On Sunday, Representative Kucinich, Democrat from Ohio, stunned viewers during a campaign appearance televised on C-SPAN 2, in which he broke with traditional Democratic Party decorum by revealing his naked right breast. After building to a crescendo in his populist stump speech, Mr. Kucinich exhorted his audience, don't vote for those boobs, vote for this boob, ripping open his shirt and revealing his right breast to the audible gasps of those in attendance. Mr. Kucinich, who later blamed his shirt-ripping incident on a wardrobe malfunction, drew cries of outrage from viewers across the country who were offended by the sight of his naked right breast. My entire family was watching C-SPAN 2 when Mr. Kucinich decided to treat us to the sight of his naked booby, one writer to the network complained. My children have been traumatized for life. In the seven states where voting was held on Tuesday, new super-sensitive vote counting equipment had to be brought in to detect Kucinich's microscopic vote tallies, believed to have been rendered all the tinier by Sunday's regrettable naked breast incident. Elsewhere, amid disappointing results of his own, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean denied reports that he had acquired a nuclear weapon from Pakistani scientists for use in the upcoming Wisconsin primary. Putting the best face on his performance, Dr. Dean blamed his poor showing in Tuesday's contest on what he called electoral dysfunction. The Borowitz Report, 303-382-1150. So we're talking about these allegedly independent investigations that are really only smokescreens, that are hardly independent at all. By the way, remember when the White House said that when bringing in Saddam Hussein, interrupting from his writing of novels, Would make Iraq safer for troops? No, nothing has happened. Deaths are still averaging more than one a day. American soldiers are dying at a rate of more than one a day in Iraq, despite some commanders' recent claims to have broken the back of the insurgency. The toll in January was 45, five more than in December, despite hopes that deposed President Saddam Hussein's capture would stop the killings from roadside bombs and other attacks. So those of you who are conservatives, who are going to support Bush down to the wire, who are big Rush listeners, I want to hear from you. I want to know how you feel now that more and more information is coming out and the White House lies are becoming more and more unraveled, more and more prominent. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Marin Alsop leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 6th, 7th, and 8th in a performance that includes excerpts from Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet and much more. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Randy, tell these Vermont campers a scary story.
They called it heartburn. The frequent kind. The kind only a monster could scare away. Well, a monster, or a new pill called Prilosec OTC. One pill a day for 24 hours of zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC, and it starts working the very first day. But without this little pill, things could get creepy.
Randy, hold me!
Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Bill Thorpe. The Imagination Makers Theater Company's professional adult actors present a performance of Another Point of View, Saturday, February 7th at 2 p.m. at the Boulder Public Library at 11th and Canyon Streets in Boulder. Another Point of View is a play written by high school students and is suitable for ages 12 to 18. Admission is free and a pizza party will follow the performance. For more information, call 303-441-3196.
Save over $150 on Santa-approved toys during Albertson's huge toy sale. Find items like a radio-controlled Harley. Save $20 plus much, much more while supplies last. Albertson's, it's your store.
It's hard to believe, but spring is just around the corner. Start your gardening planning now by attending the 2004 Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center, February 7th through 15th. And you can go for free. Just listen to the Enid Goldstein Show this Friday, February 6th from noon to 3, or Jim Conder's Culture Buzz Saturday morning, February 7th from 9 to 10 a.m. See the 2004 Colorado Garden and Home Show for free. Another great reason to keep it tuned to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1252 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Be careful driving. It's going to probably be a difficult commute today. A little snow is still coming down. Just a little bit of flurries when I came in. And I still see it coming down. So gradually more and more buildup. Be careful. As you're driving, it's kind of gray. And I have to tell you, I love this kind of weather. I love being inside and watching the snow come down. Having lived in California so long, it's for me a great treat, although I'm sure, maybe not for the rest of you, but I'm loving it a lot. 303-382-1150. Tom, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Tom? Not there? Okay. Sorry about that. We're talking about these various commissions, whether it's a CU or whether it's a president appointing a commission to decide the outcome. I mean, what you have here is the appearance of some sort of a fair assessment, and in fact, that isn't exactly what's going on here. This is New York Times reporting. that a draft of the executive order Bush is preparing to sign this week to create a commission makes no explicit reference to a study of how the intelligence assessments were used. Instead, it only directs the panel to compare intelligence findings about Iraq produced before the war with the absence of stockpiles of unconventional weapons. In other words, what President Bush is asking the commission to do is to very narrowly define, it's a very narrow scope of investigation. That's what's going on here, 303-382-1150. So in addition to appointing everybody who's going to be on the commission, he's directing them to only very narrowly look at the problem. Democratic leaders have sent a letter to Bush urging that the scope of the inquiry include, quote, the collection, analysis, dissemination, and use by policymakers of intelligence on Iraq. Democrats, including Minority Leader Tom Daschle, also said members of the commission should be appointed on a bipartisan basis by the congressional leadership rather than by the president himself. Mr. Bush, the White House, said plans to appoint the members himself, though Vice President Cheney has been calling around Capitol Hill sounding out ideas. Well, Cheney really runs the government. As I said, I've said often, has anybody ever heard Bush talk while Cheney is drinking a glass of water? 303-382-1150. Tom, are you there now?
Yes, I'm here now.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, I'm curious about one thing. Do you know if there's a Subway franchise in the White House?
A Subway franchise?
Yeah, because it's kind of like, well, we made some mistakes, but we're going to investigate ourselves, and that's okay because we had Subway for lunch.
Well, maybe there
if
is.
If you use that, yeah, maybe it's sub royalties.
All right, maybe it's a Sub Rosa franchise. They're doing business in a Sub Rosa kind of way, with a little mayo on it.
You know, the Republicans keep saying that we're safer. And right now, especially with this going on, how can we trust what the intelligence community is giving us about anything?
How can you trust what the Bush inquiry is going to come up with? They're being made to sign on. If they're going to be signed on to it, they cannot produce a report until after the election. So that's number one. Number two, Bush and Company, Bush Co. Are going to pick the members, the members of the commission, and they're going to limit the scope of the inquiry. So how do you believe, if you can't believe the intelligence assessments, and I believe that the lack of intelligence starts right in the White House, right in the offices of the president.
Well, I have to agree.
I think that's
with you.
The most massive intelligence failure we've got going, Tom.
I know it, and it's scary. It really scares me that there's the potential he could wind up back in there.
I really hope that doesn't happen, but I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Do you think, with Kerry catching fire, what do you think how do you think the debate is going to go between Kerry and Bush? Bush will seem very affable, you know, he's like a regular guy, even though he's not like a regular guy. And Kerry's going to seem a little bit like a tree, kind of like a stiff. So how do you think the ordinary Joe who's not keeping up, who's not reading the newspapers, who's kind of a swing voter, how do you think that person is going to respond? Is that voter going to be awake enough to really see how he or she has been manipulated, how badly manipulated by this crowd in the White House? The New York Times, in an editorial on the new panel on intelligence, is saying, we have yet to see the final shape of this panel or its mandate, and there is time for Mr. Bush to set it up correctly. But Mr. Bush's record is discouraging. This will be the second big commission on intelligence under his unintelligent presidency. Oh, that part was mine. The work of the first on the 9/11 attacks has been severely hampered by the White House's stonewalling on documents and the refusal of major figures to testify. We hope that this new investigation has not been given similar treatment. Condoleezza Rice has agreed to testify without a subpoena. She'll be testifying. It won't be public. And the commission could use its subpoena powers. And I wish they would do that. But she's going to testify off the record and in some limited way. I don't know if that's going to be useful or just another form of stonewalling that appears to be more candid than stonewalling. And again, if the White House has nothing to hide, why would they stonewall? Ask yourself this question. Why would they stonewall if they have nothing to hide? Wouldn't they want to be seen as not dragging their feet, as cooperating fully because the nation's security is the number one mandate here? No, they don't really care about the nation's security. This crew that calls themselves so religious, such compassionate conservatives, care only about themselves, and they are rapacious in only caring about themselves. So you tell me, how Christian is that? How religious really is that? How spiritual is that, where you care only about yourself and you don't give a damn about the common good? You just want to get yourself reelected. You want to make your tax burden a lot lower, and you don't care that the burden now of paying for the deficit goes to small children, really kids. It goes into our next generation. It goes on to the backs of the working class and the working poor more than I think to the rich. I mean, how can they justify that and call themselves religious unless they're complete hypocrites? And I think if they're lying to us, they're lying to themselves even more so. 303-382-1150. And why they're not called on it, why you have this punditocracy, you have bloatmos like Novak on, he should be made to testify as to who leaked to him Valerie Plame's identity. Somebody should, that old windbag, that dour-looking gas bag, ought to be made to testify who in the White House leaked Valerie Plame's identity and outed an undercover CIA operative, what they call an NOC, non-official cover. He should, I know we want to protect our journalistic sources and stuff, but in the case of Novak, I believe that he ought to be made, or somebody who had been leaked that information should have the courage to come out and testify, or let it be leaked so that we find out who in the White House and start to really investigate that person. Because I think, talk about supporting the troops, you talk about being patriotic, that's the worst. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon, snowy, 26 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by James Hardy Building. The Denver Water Board is asking all customers to not water their lawns until May 1st. The board passed a resolution following a meeting this morning asking customers to not water through March and April. Denver Water spokeswoman Trina McGuire says the resolution has no penalties associated with it, and it's just a protective measure to try and avoid mandatory or severe water restrictions this summer. Currently, Colorado snowpack is well below average. That means lower than average spring runoff. Reservoirs used by Denver Water are only at 73% of average. McGuire says the board won't decide until mid-April after the spring runoff to decide whether or not to impose mandatory water restrictions for the summer. A third man has been arrested in connection with a murder last month in Lakewood. Rodney Valenzuela was arrested yesterday afternoon near 36th and Columbine in Denver after a short foot chase. Investigators say Valenzuela was involved in the murder of 43-year-old Danny Monk, who was shot to death at 20th Avenue in Youngfield on January 17th. Valenzuela is the third man to be arrested in connection with the murder. Last week, detectives arrested 48-year-old Donald Drew and 38-year-old Robert Valenzuela Jr. No motive determined yet for that murder. Colorado lawmakers killed a bill that would have attempted to curb the sale of substances used to produce methamphetamines. House Bill 1179, sponsored by Colorado Springs Republican Richard Decker, would have limited the sale of ephedrine, pseudoephedrine, and phenylpropylamine. Those drugs are commonly used for colds and allergies and can be found in most groceries and drug stores. The proposal would have required consumers to provide identification and a signature to buy the drugs and would have required the stores to keep a registry of that information. The bill was rejected by members of the House Health, Environment, Welfare, and Institutions Committee on a vote of 9-2. A part-time corrections officer is suspended after being accused of using an inmate as target practice for a taser gun. Chaffee County Detention's Officer Scott Glenn was placed on administrative leave yesterday and could be fired. Prosecutors are investigating the incident after witnesses say that Glenn shot 42-year-old inmate Thomas Montoya with a 50,000-volt taser gun during sheriff's training class last October. Montoya is serving an 18-month sentence for violating probation on a domestic violence conviction. Sheriff Tim Walker says Glenn and other employees acknowledged a taser gun was used on Montoya, but claim that Montoya asked to be involved in the class and left uninjured. Glenn could face criminal charges if Montoya was an unwilling participant. Gays and lesbian plaintiff couples in Massachusetts are celebrating the latest ruling from the state Supreme Judicial Court there. The court ruled that civil unions are not adequate, and the earlier ruling that cleared the way for same-sex marriage stands. One member of a plaintiff couple, Hillary Goodridge, says she's thrilled.
Julie and I, what this decision means for us again today is that we'll be able to provide each other, we'll be able to provide our daughter with all of the protections and benefits possible that we can to have a healthy and stable family.
State lawmakers asked for the ruling to see if the court would accept legislation that would ban same-sex marriages but allow civil unions. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney said in a statement that the people of the state should not be excluded from a decision as fundamental to society as the definition of marriage. John Kerry has 7 wins under his belt now after a total of 9 Democratic presidential primaries and caucuses. The Massachusetts senator picked up 5 victories in yesterday's 7-state election swing after earlier winning Iowa and New Hampshire. Senator John Edwards and retired General Wesley Clark both picked up their first victories yesterday, while Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman has now bowed out of the race. The government's key witness continued his testimony in the Martha Stewart securities fraud trial in New York today. The commission investigating the 9/11 terrorist attacks getting the president's backing to extend the deadline on its work. White House spokesman Scott McClellan says President Bush supports the 60-day extension, urges Congress to do the same. Stocks continue lower heading into the final hour of trading today. The Dow is down more than 34 points. The Nasdaq down more than 43. The S&P 500 down about 10 points. In sports, Colorado's pro teams have the night off tonight. The Colorado Avalanche back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the Detroit Red Wings. The Denver Nuggets don't play again until Friday when they'll be in California to meet the Golden State Warriors. College basketball action tonight finds the CU Buffs in Texas to play the Longhorns. This spring, Woodcrest Homes will feature homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products in its newest community, the Peaks at Vista Ridge. For more information, call 720-890 Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Brenda Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits is here again with me. And Brenda, we've got Valentine's Day coming up. And I actually have a couple ladies in mind here.
Well, lucky you. You want to buy them some wine?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But they've got distinct different personalities. Okay. For example, one is a lot of fun.
Ah, then a bottle of French champagne would be just the perfect gift. I have Delamont champagne, which is just one of the most quality champagnes I have on my shelf, and it's on sale for $24.99 through Valentine's Day, regularly $28.49.
That sounds great. Now, I've got one that's real sophisticated. I think she's going to cook me a seafood dinner.
Ooh, there's nothing more romantic than a bottle of rosé. Plus, rosé goes wonderfully with seafood. I have a bottle on sale this week for $16.99. Serge Lalou rosé is one of my favorite rosés, one of the best I've ever tasted.
I'll let you know how it turns out.
Okay.
I knew you'd have the right answer. Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, located 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Pep Boys, and doing pretty well as far as accidents are concerned. Only have a couple. We have one first in Steele, another one coming in sixth in Kalamath. You have accident alert in Aurora, Golden, Castle Rock, and Littleton. So if you're in an accident there, treat unless there's an injury involved, just exchange and go and get your cars out of the way. Get to Pep Boys for a name brand oil change at just $14.88. Choose from Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, they're car people. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. From Littleton to Westminster, all over the listening area, it will stay snowy and cold today with a high of 28. Snow showers continuing tonight with a low of 12. And from this winter storm, we're expecting about 3 to 6 inches of accumulation through tonight. We'll still have some occasional snow showers tomorrow. Breezy with a high of 26. Partly cloudy, low 30s on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's snowy, 26 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about all kinds of investigations, entities investigating themselves, whether it's CU investigating itself on the recruiting scandal or whether it's the president investigating himself on why there were no WMDs. Donald Rumsfeld, boy, what a dinosaur. He said today that he's not ready to conclude that Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction before U.S. troops invaded to depose Saddam Hussein last year. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. I saw this story, the rover on Mars. I'm so intrigued by the militant watercress story, but I have to go to another science story, and this is the rover on Mars. And apparently it's uncovering evidence that water once existed on Mars. And so my novelistic imagination going to work, and maybe yours too. What if Mars was one time populated by intelligent life, such as we are, say. And then people in Mars find out that the planet is going dry and the water is drying up and they won't be able to live. And so there's this mass dispersal of people from Mars who are an advanced kind of civilization to other places, other planets where there would be water such as ours. Maybe our original people came from Mars. Isn't that fanciful? Could you think you could get a science fiction thing out of that? Analysis points to hematite that formed at the bottom of a lake or a sea, and this is being found on Mars, and, you know, the red planet, and it looks a little bit like the landscape where the Grand Canyon is located in some respects, the color of the soil or the color of the pictures coming back. But supposing you were on a planet living there, and you knew, like our planet, and the drought wasn't just a sometime thing such as we're facing now, but actually the beginning of the end of the water supply, what would you do? Would you try to figure out ways to launch yourself to another planet where the water would be more plentiful before you befouled it? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that there's a big campaign against the word like. Everybody's using it. As ex-Valley girls and boys move up the ladder, pressure is growing to sound more professional. And what a lot of people are doing are taking voice classes. They're working with voice coaches because when they hear themselves on tape, they're mortified, as any of us would be when we have first heard ourselves on tape. It's a pretty grisly experience. But now that we're used to it, it's not quite as grisly. But in any event, everybody is using like. And one 18-year-old says, my mom talks about how it's not like professional and says I'll look stupid. But someday everybody my age will be in the professional world with me. And if they're saying like, too, I won't stand out. 2 decades after the song Valley Girl popularized it, a fresh effort is afoot to stamp out this linguistic quirk. The generation that grew up saying like is hitting adulthood and the workforce. And as a result, it is now the lexicon of investment bankers who are also busy saying cool, doctors, and even teachers, where it can sound especially jarring. I'm sure I say like a lot, says Liza Sutherland, 28, a sixth grade humanities teacher in New York. I don't worry so much about how my students speak. Like a verbal virus. This usage is also increasingly spreading to other English-speaking countries. British and Canadian kids now grease their sentences with the word like. A professor of linguistics at the University of Toronto, who's researched the speech of the elderly in the United Kingdom, found that they, too, have a surprising fondness for like. If I showed you a written document of the conversation, you would think that they were young women in North America, not 78-year-old ladies from Scotland, she says. The battle, of course, isn't being waged against the traditional uses of like, the ones that express an affinity, Mikey likes it, or compare two things, my love is like a red, red rose. What's targeted is the repetition of like that to critics sounds like nonsense. Example, like my mother is like a total space cadet. Linguistics say like has a growing number of meanings. It can act as a hedge to tell the listener that what is being said is an approximation or an exaggeration. Example, she has like a gazillion shoes. It can also be a focuser to declare that the next bit of information is important. He is like so hot. One of the most ubiquitous uses is as a substitute for said. So my mom was like, do your homework. And then I was like, I did it at school. Oh, well, wait, no, that isn't how the other usage for using said is I'm all. I'm all, she said this, I'm all, he said that, he's all that. Isn't that another usage for like or for said? There's a range of tactics to combat all this. Some parents mimic their kids and like them right back. Fed-up English teachers are turning their classrooms into like-free zones. Even speech pathologists are being called in to help break the habit at rates of as much as $100 an hour. One common tactic, tape recording or videotaping the afflicted as a kind of shock therapy to show them how like-infused they really are. In one exercise at Leap Learning Systems, a language school in Chicago that offers after-school and summer programs to help inner-city kids master standard business English, students are asked to shout beep beep whenever a speaker in the class uses like, among other words, unnecessarily. Here are likes. When the likes start spilling from the mouths of one teacher's student, she writes their sentences on the blackboard and has them read the word back. It will click and they'll see it doesn't mean anything. Language watchers offer various theories to explain the spread of like. Some blame declining emphasis on grammar instruction in schools. Others point to an explosion of slang in music and movies, making non-traditional speech more widespread than acceptable. So you want to comment on like? You want to comment on like? 303-382-1150. Joe says his crutch word was dude. Is that the past tense for something? Oh, no, never mind. Or is it a noun? Dude. I dude that. No, never mind. Like, I hear it a lot. Sometimes when I do it, I think it sounds horrible. If I hear it from callers, it can be so distressing when that's all callers can do is like. What do you think? Do you hear it a lot? 303-382-1115. We have to call the language police to issue tickets immediately, because the other thing that nobody can do anymore is spell. I was just at, I'm getting lenses in these frames, glasses that I got in Italy, in Europe. They're really great. I hope it comes out okay. They're perfect circles, and they're tortoiseshell, and they're like the architect Le Corbusier wore in the 30s or in the 20s. They're just thick and perfect circles, and they look terrible on me, but I just love them anyway. It doesn't matter. And so the sign on the optician's door says, open Sundays, apostrophe S. Now open Sundays, apostrophe S. Well, you don't need an apostrophe S. For some reason, we are in love with apostrophes, and we are also in love with like. And so if you want to discuss language, this is a place to do it, because I'm a stickler for it, having been a writer, and still thinking of myself as a writer, even though I don't write all that much anymore. 303-382-1150. We have to call the language patrol in. All right. San Francisco has shattered the glass ceiling. Guess what they have? We don't have that here. We ought to think about having it here. San Francisco has both a female fire chief and a female police chief. How do you like that in San Francisco? A female fire chief and a female police chief. Did anybody ever even consider having a female police chief in Denver? And do you think it would fly? 303-382-1150. We're talking about all kinds of things today. We're talking about Iraq, and we're talking about the fact that bringing Saddam Hussein in has not resulted in the death of fewer of our soldiers. The death rate remains roughly the same. There is a culture of corruption in Iraq. Under Hussein, payoffs pervaded nearly every level of Iraqi society, and there have been not much in the way of reform efforts. So anything going on in Iraq is part of what is called a culture of corruption. Kind of like what we have with Halliburton. So none of that has really changed. And there's a new study that's come out detailing Iraq, during the Iraq war, a morass of supply shortages. Now remember, one of the big beefs with Rumsfeld is that he thought you could do this war on the cheap, and he thought you didn't need very many people to fight it. He was going to get in and out of there real quick. Remember they said something like 44 days or something? We're still there. We're going to be there for a long time. And we did not have enough people to provide supplies to resupply. And apparently, this new study indicates a morass of supply shortages. Really bad. 303-382-1150. Jeremy, like, from Denver. Hi, you're, like, on with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Like, wow, man. That's excellent. I just wanted to comment. I noticed you and I, and actually most people I know, use as a spacer in a sentence, and it seems like has become...
The new spacer?
Yeah, the same kind of spacer. I don't... You know, most people use some sort of mannerism just to put space into things.
Right.
You know, so I don't...
What if we just had silence? What if we didn't do... I mean, I do that reflexively.
I know. I think everybody does as well. You know, I think, you know, just depending on what time and what culture and what, you know, environment you grow up in, like might be used the same way. I've known a couple of guys from a couple of different countries who use swear words in that same way. You know, it's very annoying, but I think with the passage of time, it's just going to progress into something where it's the
same. All right, I'm going to tell you the swear word equivalent of like is the F-bomb. And I was at I've been listening to a lot of comedy. I've gone to Comedy Works, and as a substitute for not being very funny, a lot of these comedians will F-bomb you to death.
Exactly.
They'll use the F-word as much as the like word, and it gets a laugh, although I can't imagine why, because usually the punchline's not that funny.
Exactly, and it's a cover-up for a lack of language at that point.
Well,
you know?
it's a crutch. Let's talk about language here, because it's one of the things, and particularly in radio, if you're a writer and if you're in radio, radio is more a medium, I think, of the imagination than television. Because if you listen to old-time radio, do you ever listen to old-time radio? Sometimes those It's done with sound effects. Your mind can imagine what people look like. Television, there's a representation of what somebody looks like. You see somebody on television, you know what they look like. But when you don't know what the character looks like, your mind develops the character, your mind reads between the lines, your mind develops what I look like, my imagination develops what you look like, and so on. So in many ways, radio is so much more an intimate medium than television and more a medium of the imagination. And because you don't have the pictures, you have to create word pictures. But we are in such a debased time that the language, I think, really reflects the debase. We're in a land of political correctness where there, you know, you use five words to say what one used to, you don't say it rains. There's precipitation, is what we say.
Right.
There's no such thing as a barf bag. It's a motion sickness container. And what was the word? Evolution. You can't use evolution anymore. Four words have, in the state of Georgia, four words have replaced it. Over time,
right.
events changing over time or something like that.
Well, I think, you know, at the same time that, you know, political correctness is the thing that doesn't let you call a dame abroad. You know, I think that, you know, this is just going to continue on and on. I don't see an end in sight to it or anything like it. I think
what about the use of language where it's colorful? There were people who made, and one of them just died, actually, Jerry Nachman, the first guy to put me on the radio, and he's a number two guy at MSNBC, and he had a checkered career. He was a colorful guy, kind of a Damon Runyon character himself. He used to use language beautifully. He was somebody who was short and for a long time fatter than he was, wider than he was tall, as a matter
right.
of fact, until he recently lost some weight, and wasn't the cutest guy you would ever encounter. But the minute he opened his mouth, he was so funny. His observations were so brilliant. His use of the language was so edgy and wonderful that you absolutely forgot what he looked like, and you just loved him for what he appeared, what he was.
I agree. It didn't matter. I saw the Nachman show a lot of times before he had the surgery, and then after that, I wasn't able to catch it again. But really, he did draw pretty much the entire audience into the show, no matter what he looked like. He was wonderful. But I think back to the correct.
Oh, the other one that we're using is the one you're just using now. I do that too. You know.
Don't you know? Okay.
Well, no, that's an older locution. Don't you know? Is people who are about 90 years old now coming from the Midwest? Don't you know? Coming from Minnesota. Okay, Jeremy, thanks for the observation. 303-322-1150. We're talking about language. Think about this. Oh, there, I did it. I said, you know. Think about this, the use of language, because it's certainly critical as to what was said and what was not said, very carefully delineated in getting us to go to war. Donald Rumsfeld still thinks that the information's not in on WMDs. He thinks they can still be found. And how the language has been corrupted by this crew in the White House.